listening to Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. This is edition 285, and on the program this week, I'm going to be speaking with filmmaker and educator Nicolas Renaud. Nicolas has been involved in bringing Indigenous voice to film festivals and educational institutions as an Indigenous filmmaker and educator. And I got the chance to speak with Nicolas about a very important issue on the land that is taking place right now in Quebec, Bill 97. This is a push by the current right-wing government in Quebec, which is called the Coalition Avenir de Québec, currently in power, who is pushing for the radical expansion of clear-cut forestry practices on traditional Indigenous territories in Quebec. This is going to impact, of course, not only Indigenous land rights and sustainability, but also radically the environment. We're talking about change of policy for territories the size of some small Western European countries. These are huge areas. And I think Nicolas has really done an incredible work to detail and analyze this current quote-unquote bill that is being presented in Quebec in alliance with corporate forestry groups. And so it was really a pleasure to speak with Nicolas for Free City Radio. Here's our exchange. Right now, there's a critically important, it's called, quote-unquote, a forestry plan. There's different terminology used, but basically a radical restructuring of how the Quebec government categorizes and permits, quote-unquote, the forestry industry. This is, of course, a reality that's taking place on ceded territory a lot of the time. Mass clear-cutting and logging that's going on throughout different regions of Quebec. Bill 97 under the CAQ government, the extreme right nationalist government here in Quebec. Nicolas, you have really made an effort to try to sift through the information about Bill 97 and communicate it in different contexts. You shared an analysis of this bill at Concordia University in a space called Fourth Space here in Montreal, and so we'll link to that presentation. But maybe first, if you could just introduce yourself and just give us a little bit kind of a broader context as to why this is really important for you, and also why it's important for people to take notice of this quote-unquote bill in relation to both Indigenous territories and questions about environmental justice.
Thank you, Stefan. So my name is Nicolas Renaud. I'm an assistant professor and director of the First People Studies program at Concordia University. I am of mixed heritage, part Quebecois, and a member of the Huron-Wendat First Nation of Wendake. I'm also a filmmaker and visual artist. I've studied the forest for a while. I'm interested in everything that's happening with the forest. It's quite emblematic, like symbolic topic of political relationship between the state and Indigenous people in Quebec, the logging industry, you know, and the access to the land and the issues of First Nations land rights. What's happening with Bill 97 is another step. It is very concerning for many reasons. So for people who are not following French language media in Quebec, they may have not heard so much about it. But since May, there are road blockades and railway blockades set up by land defenders who themselves have various degrees of support from local band councils, from official First Nation governance as recognized by the Indian Act. And why is that? And so why is diplomacy a dead end? You know? So that is something to look into. I looked into the process of drafting the bill. I looked into the way the government of Quebec has designed a communication campaign around the forest for the last few years, and how that is meant to skew public opinion in a certain direction and make people accept this this plan. So there are a lot of, we can talk about a few different aspects of the bill and what are the issues with it, but in short, there are many issues with it. There's the disrespect of First Nations rights as recognized by already existing laws and legal precedent. So the CAC is stepping over existing First Nations rights and doesn't mention them in the bill. There's the ecological concern of the fate of the ecosystem of the boreal forest. The plan is not interested in an ecosystemic approach. It's interested in a maximized exploitation and management approach that is rooted in a lie that they keep repeating. They keep repeating that the forest is already managed, exploited in a responsible way, in a sustainable way in Quebec, and that it can take more exploitation, more extraction. That is contrary to what First Nation people on the land have observed for decades now, especially the last few years. Clear cutting has been very intense in many parts of Quebec. That is also contradictory with what biologists, forest scientists are saying. We are not in a state of balance and responsible management. We've crossed that line where the exploitation is unsettling the entire ecosystem. The fact that a critical species like the woodland caribou is officially in danger and keeps declining and declining over the last few years is a sign that the ecosystem is not healthy. When you have such a key species about to vanish because the habitat is being overexploited, you cannot say and keep repeating publicly that the forest is healthy and managed responsibly. How is it managed responsibly when species are vanishing? There's also the issue of how they want to divide the land. So 1/3 of Quebec public land, which includes unceded First Nation territory, would be given for exclusive access to the industry. We can't even go camping or fishing there. It's called a priority management zone. Reminds us of Bill 5 in Ontario and special economic development zones, you know. So they create these kind of areas where they kind of keep people out of them and disable existing environmental laws in them. That's what CAC is doing. 3 wildlife protection laws would no longer apply in that 1/3 of priority management zone. So I could go on and on about all the issues around Bill 97, but these are some of the most concerning aspects. And the process itself it has angered a lot of people because consultations, negotiations, all of that has been theater. No one has seen their concerns and suggestions and questions being taken seriously and being reflected in any way in the bill.
I think it would be meaningful for people to hear just on a sort of territorial level, and you've spent time in some of the regions that have been impacted by this clear cutting. Due to family heritage and connection, but also I'm sure out of the interest in understanding what's taking place. And I think that the Coalition Avenir de Québec, the, I don't know how would we say that in English, the Future Coalition of Quebec, the political right party here in Quebec in Canada, has successfully, I think, disconnected people living in the major population centers from having a territorial understanding of how significant what you described is. You talked about one third of territory being inaccessible due to this change in legislation around territory and the laws, colonial laws being imposed. How big is this area? I know it seems like a basic question, but I think maybe it's important for people to kind of get a sense of the magnitude.
Yes. I mean, all of Quebec is overlogged, methods of logging is another issue, you know, how much is like selective cutting of some tree, and how much is just clear cutting, and how that clear cutting goes right up to the edge of lakes and rivers and things like that. So the actual allowed methods, or allowed or not, the way the industry operates far from the public eye is one issue in itself. But people might have this, if they don't explore the territory north of the cities too much, they might look at the map. You look at Google Map on satellite imagery. If you're in a zoom out view, it looks all green. You just have to zoom in any area north of Quebec City, north of Trois-Rivières, around Lac Saint-Jean, Côte-Nord in Innu territory, Tkemek territory, Algonquin territory in Abitibi. Just zoom in with satellite imagery. You're going to see all the traces of the logging. It's like a mad lawnmower was let loose all over the forest. So I don't have precise figures of how much do they want to give, how much land do they want to give to the industry in that one third. The concept, and what's very problematic, is that this, they call it the triade, you know, the triade, so three parts. First of all, the triade never meant that the three parts have to be equal, but the Minister of Forests and Natural Resources, Maïté Blanchette-Vézina, said the triade is one-third, one-third, one-third. Scientists who've explore that concept in experimental area said that it doesn't mean that, for instance, the conservation third shouldn't be larger than the exploitation third. So this idea that they're equal parts is already an issue. So this the triad was studied in an experimental area, like a limited, a quite vast but limited area of forest in southern Quebec. The government takes that and says we're going to apply it to the entirety of the province. So one third, one third, one third is one third priority exploitation, one third multi-use, which is, oh, people can keep going for outdoor activities or have a cabin maybe or things like that, and First Nations can do their traditional harvesting activities and so on. But logging is still happening, so we could call it business as usual. And one third is conservation area. So to be clear, the issue is the fate of two third of the boreal forest, because the multi-use third, if it is business as usual, it's already overexploited, you know, and the other third that is reserved to the industry will just be, you know, it will be raided entirely. There's also clues that they're going to define the one third of priority management zone, as they call. I think we should call them maximized exploitation zones, to play on words, you know. There are worries that this will be defined before drawing the conservation areas. The conservation areas will be what's left, you know, and not based on an ecosystemic approach of what can serve most the support to biodiversity the role the forest plays in climate change and so on. To divide the forest in three in an experimental area and say, oh yes, okay, it offers some economic productivity and one third of the forest that was in touch can host wildlife and preserve plants and everything. There might be some value to that, but to think that you can split the entire territory of Quebec in three over unceded indigenous land without asking them their permission, without involving them in how this division in three parts will be done, makes no sense. It also makes no sense ecologically. There are no studies, no preoccupation at all, it seems, of how is the one third of conservation area affected if the other two thirds around it are completely decimated. We would need like a watershed ecosystemic approach, which is a big issue with logging. We see the effect on water, on lakes and river, and on fish, on warming of water as well. So this triad concept doesn't really hold very much to you know, in front of ecological questions and First Nations rights questions.
For people who are hearing this in other parts of the world, even probably in parts of Canada, would not really maybe immediately understand we're talking about, you know, areas that are literally the size of entire smaller Western European countries. So just in terms of proportionality, we're talking about regions the size of Belgium or the Netherlands. So it's like significant amounts of territory. And of course, then there's the effects on the ecosystem globally, right? When that amount of forested lands are being removed from basically the natural ecological processes, that will have global implications. To the point that you mentioned, Nicolas, you talked about the fact that this quote-unquote plan, you use the term extractivist or extraction. I think that's an important one to kind of zoom in on. And then how that relates to the question of indigenous territory, which you mentioned earlier, also the fact that blockades have been going up. Can we kind of look into this a bit more?
Yes. Yeah, so there was a consultation process because it is in the law that when something happens on First Nations territory, they should be consulted. You know, governments rarely really comply with those laws. It is also clearly stated in the United Nations Declarations on the Rights of Indigenous People, free, prior, and informed consent, which Quebec doesn't want to recognize. Okay, even though Canada said they join UNDRIP, Quebec doesn't want to recognize it, and they kind of leave it up to each province to decide what they do with it. So First Nations were presented with the bill all drafted, and then say, well, you can give your opinion, but nothing's going to change. That's pretty much the attitude of the government. And it's been the attitude of this CAC government on many, many files affecting First Nations communities, lives, culture, territory. You know, so how can free, prior, and informed consent be exercised in these circumstances? It's not possible. Quebec doesn't really recognize the notion of unceded land, even though it's in the Royal Proclamation. It is never accounted for in bills that they draft and the way that they approach relations with First Nation communities in Quebec. So there was a consultation process for maybe 2 years involving First Nations, also scientists. But as I said earlier, it is with theater, because what is unanimous from environmental scientists, other groups like environmental groups, and First Nations they're unanimous on the fact that none of the presentations they made, studies that they submitted, are reflected in the government's plan. The government's plan for forestry is a copy-paste of what the industry gave them. And that is clear. That is clear to everyone. So now we said, I mentioned earlier, that there are variable degrees of alignment between official band council leaders and land defenders, who take the land defenders take their legitimacy from hereditary lineage, often, you know, stewards of a certain part of the land. And they are recognized by the community often, no matter what the government is trying to say, or some band councils are saying, calling them, illegitimate representatives of the community. So there are various degrees of alignment between official indigenous leadership and the land defenders who are erecting the blockades on roads and railways. However, as the band council and the AFNQL, the Assembly of First Nation Quebec and Labrador, which represents all band council chiefs in Quebec, as they were playing the game with the government of entering a new phase of consultations and negotiation after such outrage and backlash on the bill, it didn't last one day. They slammed the door last Monday. So it's, you know, it's to say that even those who don't want to support the blockades and want to play the political game of making one gain here or there and negotiating, which in my opinion is wrong, the bill has to be scrapped entirely because the process is skewed. You know, it's not democratic, it's not scientific, it's not respectful of First Nation. But even then, even if you go along with that, let's negotiate some amendments, some revisions of this article or that, and not support officially the blockade. Even that failed because the government can't even spend one day in a room with First Nations representative and have an honest discussion. So they walked out of the talk last Monday.
So that was, we're speaking in July 2025, so that would have been July 21st, when Indigenous representatives exited this negotiation. Thanks also for breaking down the reality that right now, this summer in 2025, there's really important Indigenous road and rail blockades against this plan to maximally exploit and extract wealth from these Indigenous territories and forests that are being affected by clear cutting. Nicolas, thank you so much for outlining all of this. We will share the detailed presentation that you gave recently at Concordia University and the link where we will highlight that. So that is in the archives of this program, Free City Radio, which is at soundcloud.com/Free City Radio. You can find it there. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak a bit about this today, Nicolas.
Thanks for having me, Stefan.
That was an interview with Nicolas Renaud, who is an Indigenous filmmaker and professor at Concordia University in Montreal, Canada, speaking on the critical importance of Bill 97, which is new legislation in Quebec that will radically expand the capacity of corporate logging on Indigenous traditional territories. Thank you so much to Nicolas for being on the program this week. This has been another edition of Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. We broadcast weekly on 90.3 FM CKUT in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on CJLO 1690 a.m. also in Montreal on Wednesdays at 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 a.m. on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto on Fridays at 5:30 a.m. on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Thursdays at 4:30 p.m. and on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. We are also a podcast. Look us up. Just search Free City Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Stefan Christoph, and I'll speak with you next week.